Boy, that was a blessing. I'd like to hear that again next week. But our instrumentalist has liberty, amen? She chooses what God wants her to do. That's a blessing. If you have your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. I mentioned a couple of things on Friday night about the spirit of Christmas. And when you think about it, it's forgiveness. It's love. It's mercy and it's grace. God sent his son into the world to die for our sins, to pay our sin debt, and to provide eternal life for us, all because he loved us. Amen. And he's forgiven us. And those are big things. We're going to read a few verses in Luke chapter 2 without the whole chapter. These stories are so familiar to us, but we're going to begin reading in verse 8. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Father, I pray that your word would speak to us today, that we would hear it, that the Spirit of God would open our hearts that we might hear what you have to say. And I pray it would change our lives and it would glorify you, Lord. We want to praise you today for all you've done for us. Bless the preaching, the teaching, the hearing of your word now, again, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Peace on earth. Well, we certainly don't have that right now. But when all this is over, there's going to be peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Right now, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. That's what it says. The wisdom that's from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. It's making peace all the time. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, and peace. So that's the combination, and we have that at Christmas time. Amen. We think about that a lot. But then it goes on and it talks about goodwill. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Goodwill. And I'd like to speak on that. Ephesians 6:7 says, With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. An old-time preacher, Matthew Henry, wrote this. He said, God's goodwill to men, manifested in sending the Messiah, redounds to his praise. Other works of God are for his glory, but for the redemption of the world is for his high glory in the highest. And so that's what we sing, glory to God in the highest. And we mean that with all of our heart because this is what Christmas is all about. Man's goodwill to man is the result of God's goodwill to man. So God shows us mercy, we show others mercy. Amen. God forgives us, we forgive others. God loves us, and we love others. And that's how God works in us and through us, and that's a blessing. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, the Bible says, The Lord is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God's good will for us is that we would come to repentance. We would be forgiven of all of our sins. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, again, same principle, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Turn your Bibles back to Matthew, Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23, this is the Lord speaking. It's a message that he's preaching to the Pharisees, the scribes, and the publicans. And it's a very pointed message. But in verse 24, he says, Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. It's a bad picture, is it not? Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. And that's the picture. That is religion. That's not reformation. That's not God doing something in our heart. That's just us doing something outwardly. And you come all the way down, and this is what the Lord says in verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. I would, but ye would not. So God's good will, God's good would for us, is that we would trust Christ as our Savior. Amen? That we would have the fullness of that forgiveness and that peace. That's what God wants, no matter what the circumstance is. No matter what our sin is, God wants to forgive that. He's shown us mercy that we might be merciful, and he's shown us goodwill that we might show others goodwill. Goodwill, good tidings of great joy, good news from a far country. The opposite of this is malice. Malice is ill will. And here's the definition. To regard with extreme ill will, the definition of malice, from mere personal gratification. You know, there's some people that just are like that. They have no reason to be like that. They're just like that. They just show ill will to people. But it goes on, and that's in the definition. Or from the spirit of revenge. You do something bad to me, I'll do something bad to you. So you have those two opposites. You have one accord and discord. You have ill will and you have goodwill. And the Bible is talking about the goodwill of God toward us, so that we could have his goodwill to others. Amen? It just makes sense. And that's how people are one to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 4:31, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave you. Amen? And the instruction is so clear. There are some other verses, Colossians 3:8, 1 Corinthians 14:20, Titus 3:3, 1 Peter 2:1, 1 Corinthians 5:8. Rather than read all those, it's the same context. Put away the anger. Amen. Put away the wrath. Put away the malice. And be kind one to another. That certainly speaks of Christmas. In Romans 5:8, God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us. He loved us. He's willing to forgive us while we were yet sinners. Amen? And so that's the spirit he wants to show at Christmas time. Here's a verse that says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. But God loved us when we weren't his friends. He was our friend. He's a friend of sinners. He even said to Judas, friend. Why, you know, and Judas came to kiss him, and he called him a friend. And we become friends of God. Amen? But he loves us while we're sinners. He loves us while we're outcasts, while we're putting on a show, while the N-word is full of dead men's bones. That's when he loved us. Amen? No matter what our sin was, no matter what how devious it was or bad it was, he loved us and he gave his son for the whole world. Such a blessing. Proverbs 24:17. Here's the instruction. And we'll get to the meat of this. This will be a really good message. Amen? Richard always says, is it going to be a good message? And I said, no, it's going to be a great message. Delivery is another deal, but it's going to be a good message. But this is what the Lord says. Rejoice not, Proverbs 24:17. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth. Why? Because we're to love our enemies. We're to show them goodwill. Rejoice not when they fall. Amen? Well, they got what's coming to them. Well, just thank God we don't get what's coming to us. Amen? Take your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 18, just a little bit to the left of where you're at. Matthew chapter 18. And we'll read a number of verses here. Let's start in verse 23. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. That's exactly what the first man said. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. See that? Isn't that good? Amen? That's good preaching and hard living. Amen? Love your enemies. Pray for them that despitefully use you. I know that's hard, but that's what the Lord has done for us. Sometime, well, I don't want to go down another trail, but I want to look at some other things. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth. Has God been good to you? Has God been merciful to you? And we don't even deserve it. Amen? And he's so kind to us. He's so good to us. He's so long-suffering. Luke chapter 11, the disciples came to the Lord and said, Teach us to pray. Well, when you pray, pray something like this. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then there's a part of it that says this. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive. That's in the Lord's Prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer. It's really the disciples' prayer. They're asking to learn how to pray. But that's what we're instructed to do. Luke 6:41. And why? Beholdest the mote that's in thy brother's eye, and you don't see the beam that's in your own eye. Why would somebody do that? Amen? It takes the attention off of them. We're to let a man examine himself. Amen? And we can't really see it, so we say, Lord, you examine me. And he does that so that we can help people, so that we can see clearly to help others. Joseph in the Bible was really mistreated by his brothers. Amen. You know the story. I'll just throw out a couple things here, but you know the story of Joseph. They were jealous of Joseph, and the more the father did for Joseph, the worse it got. They hated him, and their hatred grew. The more he was blessed, the angrier they got. And they were going to kill him, but great day in the morning, they only sold him in the slave room. I mean, that's pretty bad too, you know? And so he goes in slavery, then the woman, Potiphar's wife, lies about him. Then he's thrown into prison. He doesn't know if he's ever going to get out of prison. But God gave him a dream. God gave him truth. And he believed that. He believed that was going to happen. So finally, you know the story. Finally, his brothers come. And he reveals himself because he's second highest ruler in the land. And he could do anything evil that he wanted to do with those guys. Amen, those brothers. But this is what he says. In Genesis 45 and verse 15. Moreover, after he showed them who he was, moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. If you want to turn, you can turn to Genesis chapter 50. You don't need to. I can just read a couple verses here. Why don't I just read these? In verse 19, Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? Remember in Romans it says, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. That is not for us. But here he's saying, Am I in the place of God? Don't be afraid. But as for you, you thought evil against me, But God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. You meant evil, God meant good. God's good will is going to triumph. Then the next verse says, now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. He spake kindly. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Amen? And you see a beautiful picture of goodwill towards somebody who has ill will towards you. And of course, our Savior was the epitome of an example there and how he responded. David was a shepherd boy. Remember 1 Samuel 17, he kills Goliath. And everybody starts singing, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Well, that was good when David killed Goliath and freed the whole nation. But now, Saul is jealous. And again, you know the story. Amen? Okay, two of you know the story. And so, here's David. And he's just so innocent. He's just trying to be a blessing to King Saul. And Saul is so jealous. Boy, jealousy will really get you, won't it? And so he's being jealous, and he wants to kill David. He wants to take his life. And in 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 17, David could have done that to Saul, but he didn't. And Saul said to David, thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. You've rewarded me for my evil. You've rewarded me good. But I've not done that. I went the other direction. I'm going to read a few verses in the Psalms. This is Psalm 35, and this is David speaking, beginning in verse 11. False witnesses did rise up, and they laid to my charge things that I knew not. Boy, that happens. There's people that talk about you and say things about you, and you don't even know they're saying it, and they're not true. They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. I have behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. But in mine adversity they rejoiced and gathered themselves together, yea, the abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me and cease not. And it keeps on going. But the point is, David, when they were doing bad things to him, he would not do bad things back. He could have killed Saul, but he didn't. Shall I lift up my hand against the Lord's anointed? And of course the answer is no, you shouldn't. And you have wonderful examples here. The Apostle Paul, once he got saved, he lived for the Lord. He was willing to suffer the loss of all things and count them but dung that he might win Christ. He was willing, he said, he prayed this, Lord, take my life but save the nation, if that's what it takes. And he went everywhere preaching the word of God, established all those churches. We read about all that the Apostle Paul did. And he said this, he said in 1 Corinthians 4:12, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. And he goes on. He's showing how people were treating him, but the only thing that was important was pleasing God. If I please men, I should not be the servant of the Lord. And so he wanted to please God with all of his heart. Amen? No matter what anybody said, he wasn't going to let that spirit corrupt him. What a wonderful spirit, the spirit of forgiveness. Amen? A spirit of peace, a spirit of joy, a spirit of just knowing you're doing the Lord's will, no matter what anybody else does or does to you. You do it absolutely for the Lord. And David did that, or Paul did that. And where did he get that idea from? Boy, I wonder. 1 Peter 2:23, this is speaking about the Lord, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. God will sort it all out. Stephen preached that message, and they started to stone Stephen. I wonder how we would react, you know. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Oh, yes, they will. Yes, they will. And take the picture. Here's Stephen being stoned with rocks, with boulders. And think of the pain that would cause. And sometimes when people throw those words at us or about us, that causes something too, doesn't it? But here's what it says about Stephen. They stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." Lay not this sin to their charge. Had they known, 1 Corinthians 2, had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Had they known. And there's people, had they known the Lord, wouldn't say that. They wouldn't act like that. They wouldn't hurt like that because they don't know the Lord. And we should pray for their faith. It says about Jesus, he went everywhere doing good. He had goodwill toward men. And remember when they came out in the garden to get him, to take him, to crucify him? And Malchus, the servant of the high priest, was there, and Peter pulled out his sword. Peter was crazy, wasn't he? I mean, he was a hothead, but he pulled out his sword and he tried to, he was a fisherman, he wasn't a swordsman, but he cut off the servant's ear, cut off his ear. And the Lord took the ear and put it back on and said, "Peter, now's not the time for that." Jesus knew why he came. And you know, you think about the spiritual application. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Sometimes in our anger and in our ill will, in our malice, we cut people's ears off that they're not going to hear. They're not going to hear a thing about God from you. But God would have taken that ear and put it back on so he could hear. Isn't that a good application? And it just goes on and it goes on and it goes on and it goes on. Romans 12:21, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good, with goodwill." Have you ever been kind to someone who was unkind to you? Well, yeah, back in 1980, I think I did that once. But well, being kind to somebody who's not kind to you, that's for the Lord. And that might ultimately be for that person's soul. Amen? I think it's true. 1 Thessalonians 5:15. This is very, very clear. "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good," goodwill, "both among yourselves and to all men." Don't reward evil for evil. Amen? Because you'll be fighting all the time. It's an evil world. You rub shoulders with angry people, people full of malice, don't know the Lord. And if you responded like them, it's dog eat dog. Amen? And the big dog wins usually. And they just keep right on going. Romans 2:4, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." And so as we experience the goodness of God, as we think about how good God has been to us, it causes us to repent how we treat other people because he's been so good to us. "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Good verses. There's a song, "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day," that old familiar carols play, "and mild and sweet their songs repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men." If you were here Friday, Lynn had bells on her shoes. And wherever Lynn was, we heard. Amen. We heard where she was. We knew where she was going. We knew if she was in eating cookies before it was time. We knew that. You know, we knew where she was. Turn in your Bible, please, to Exodus chapter 28. I want you to see these verses. Exodus 28. We'll read some of these verses. "I heard the bells on Christmas Day." Exodus 28. And let's begin reading here in verse 31. This is the robe that the priest wore. And, I'll just read it. Verse 31. "And thou shalt make the robe of the ephod all of blue. And there shall be an hole in the top of it in the midst thereof. It shall have a binding of woven work round about the hole of it, as it were the hole of a habergeon, that it be not rent. And beneath upon the hem of it thou shalt make pomegranates of blue and of purple and of scarlet. and round about the hem thereof, and bells of gold between them round about. Bells of gold on the hem of the garment. As you read through the book of Exodus, there's a lot of chapters that deal with the tabernacle and the coverings in the tabernacle and all the dimensions of the tabernacle. This is where they worship God. And when you came in to the tabernacle, you would pass the laver and where they would burn an offering, and then the laver where they would wash, and then they would go into the holy place. There's a tent, the holy place, and the table of showbread and the different items in there. And then there was another curtain, and once in a year, the high priest would go in through that one curtain, and that was the Holy of Holies. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was. I know that's a lot of information, but you can read about it here. But they're very particular about everything about the tabernacle. And so we find the bells of gold between them round about, verse 34, a golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe round about. And it shall be upon Aaron to minister, and his sound shall be heard when he goeth in unto the holy place before the Lord, and when he cometh out, that he die not. And Ellicott's commentary said this: his sound shall be heard. The great object of the bells was to make known to the people by a sensible manifestation every movement of their representative, every act that he performed on their behalf. The bells enabled them to follow in their thoughts the entire service that he was engaged in, to join their prayers and praises with his, and offer to God a common worship. They knew where that high priest was. They knew what he was doing. There were different fixtures in there that he had to deal with. And they knew, and they listened. And they knew he was alive. Amen? They knew he was doing this service and that service. And so the people that heard that worshiped with him, because he was the representative worshiping Almighty God. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Ring the bells, ring the bells, let the whole world know Christ the Savior lives today as he did so long ago. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 24. Well, prior to that, it says Jesus Christ is our great high priest. Amen. But in verse 24, Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but to heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Here's another hymn we sing. Ring the bells of heaven. Spread the feast today. Angels, swell the glad triumphant strain. Tell the joyful tidings. Bear it far away, for a precious soul is born again. There's joy in the presence of the angels of God in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, Luke chapter 15. Amen? There's bells going off. At least that's how they're illustrated here in the book of Exodus. In Esther chapter 9, and I brought this out last week. I think I'll bring something else out. Let's go to Leviticus 25. I want to read a couple of verses there too. Last week, we talked about the babe leapt in her womb. And it was when Mary's salutation was heard by Elizabeth, because John the Baptist, 6 months, was in her belly and was going to be born. And he was the forerunner. And so when Mary came, the babe leapt in her womb. Excitement. Amen. And this is about the year of Jubilee. I vaguely mentioned that last week. But let's look at verse 8. This is Leviticus 25 and verse 8. A lot of Bible today, but you can purchase this DVD or CD for $39.95. Amen. And you can play through it and get some of the stuff that you missed. Verse 8, I believe I said that. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years. And the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, and the day of atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And that that year of the Jubilee would be after the 49th year. That would be the 50th, up to the 50th year. And all the slaves were freed. All the land went back to the original owners. And one of my men in Sturgis, he went to the Holy Land. And this is what they would blow. It's a shofar. And they would, it's a beautiful sound. Would you like to hear it? I'll play it. Are you sure you want to hear it? Pretty good, huh? Now, I've been practicing this. Give me a simple Christmas song, because I can play the different notes. Jingle Bells? No, I can't play it. Anyway, they were very talented with those, and they played those, and they proclaimed freedom to the captive. Think of that. I mean, here's somebody working, and how many years they had to work, and my land isn't mine because I owed a debt, but I'll get it back the year of Jubilee. So the forgiveness and the restoration, all the things that happened, that's what happened to us when we got saved. And it's called the year of the Jubilee. It's jubilant. It's jubilation. It's joy. Amen? And we ought to have joy for that. So many things here. The bells ought to be going off because everybody's happy that the priest, the high priest, is alive and ministering for us in the holy place. And Jesus has entered into the place, not made with hands, but into heaven itself. He's ministering. He's ever making intercession for us to the Father. Amen? And all of our debt is paid. And all of the drudgery is gone because we have a Savior. And He's a high priest forever. What a blessing that is. I love it. In Esther chapter 9, I think I mentioned this last week too, the Jews were going to be destroyed there, and yet God turned all of that around and freed them. And this is how happy they were in Esther 9:22. It's the last chapter in the book of Esther. As the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, and from mourning into a good day, that they should make them days of feasting and joy and sending portions one to another and gifts to the poor. It sounds like Christmas. Feasting and joy, sending gifts, a good day. Ring the bells. Amen? Ring the bells. When you think of Christmas, you ought to hear bells. You ought to hear praise to Almighty God. That's what the shepherds heard. They heard those angelic voices. The enemy's defeated. The Lord is alive and we are saved. Ring the bells. Amen? Blow the trumpet. Proclaim that we're free. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Somewhere in there, if you just don't breeze through that and you think about everything, every word, bells will be ringing. You'll be celebrating. You'll be leaping for joy. He's so good to us. It goes on and says, He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Amen? Bells, joy. It goes on and it says, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. This isn't substance. This isn't money. This isn't possession. This is filled with the Holy Spirit. Our cup runs over, amen? And when your cup runs over, it runs over onto other people. And it's such a blessing to somebody else to see that. My surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What did you just hear? Not me reading, not the words. What did you hear? Did you hear any? Did the Spirit bear witness with your spirit that you're the child of God? That's what the Bible is for us. Amen? It's alive. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's quick. It's alive. So when we hear it, it's a promise. All the promises in Him are yea and amen. And we hear these truths that are applicable to us because we have a great high priest interceding for us. It's a blessing. Amen? And when we think about Christmas, oh yeah, Christmas, yeah, I got to get presents and boy, we got to have people over and this and that. And it's just, I'm not getting any sleep. The Savior is born. That's the focus. Amen? The Easter. Well, you know, I got to get a flower and a new Easter bonnet, you know, and I got to do this and I got to. But the Savior is alive. It's a picture of that. It's just such wonderful, wonderful truth. Matthew 12:35. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. Good man, good treasure, good things. It says about Barnabas, and he was a good man. And many people were added to the Lord. He was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit. Many people were added to the Lord. Goodwill. God's will towards you is good. Amen. It's goodwill. God wants all men everywhere to be saved. And after they're saved, he wants to give them not just eternal life, but abundant life. It's all goodwill. One day, how's this all going to end? Well, peace on earth and goodwill toward men. That's how it's all going to end. And we look at that, and right now we can't see it. And some days you get frustrated. Some days you get angry. Some days you might express ill will towards somebody. God doesn't want that. Amen. And if we can just get back to thinking how good he's been to us, that would be a blessing. My wife, at one time in our life, worked for Goodwill. And Goodwill is a wonderful organization. And Goodwill, what a name for a company. Amen? Where do you work? At Goodwill. That'd be a good place to work, wouldn't it? And it's a good place to work. Their policy is, these are some of their policies. You can only lose your job if you steal. If you can't hardly do the job, if you don't have the intelligence for the job, if you're not physically able to do the job, you can still get a job at Goodwill. The only thing is, if you steal, you can't have a job there. Felons are hired there. You know how hard it is for a felon to get a job somewhere? They check your record. At Goodwill, you're welcome there, even if you're a felon. They help you make a resume because they want you to advance. They're not about just keeping you in their organization. They're about advancing you so you can go on and mature and have a better job. It's a blessing. They provide vouchers for all the workers where you could come in and you trade the voucher for clothing, for anything they have in there for sale. It's all free. Comes with the deal. What a place. Amen. Think about the goodwill of God. Amen. I wish no ill will on anybody. And if you show me anger or ill will, my heart wants to be kind to you. It wants to speak kindly to you. I want to do that. Are you with me? Amen? That's how we're supposed to respond. Sometimes we get in the flesh, don't we? And we say the wrong thing or we do the wrong thing. And it doesn't come out the way we think. And when we just go back and say, yeah, I'm sorry, I was a little short. You know, I didn't have enough coffee this morning. That's usually a good excuse. But we ought to do this to please the Lord. This is a day of celebration. This is a season of celebration. And there's enough heartache in the world to celebrate that one day the heartache will all be over. Because that's God's goodwill towards us. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Spirit and how he works in our hearts. I pray, Lord, that when we read the Bible today, when we get up and have devotions, when we are just thinking about a verse we memorize, that we'll hear bells. Maybe not physically, but spiritually. That we'll so desire to blow that trumpet because it would honor and glorify you. Maybe not a physical trumpet, but something that's going to help our spirit and our soul to rejoice. Bless our people. And I pray you'd save the lost and strengthen the saved. And may our spirit be a blessing to somebody today. In Jesus' name, amen.